This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Cross-cultural sensitivity in difficult conversations. Six frameworks that help you navigate cultural difference without causing harm. In short, cross-cultural sensitivity does not mean softening the truth. It means understanding that the way you deliver a difficult message shapes whether it is heard, dismissed, or causes lasting harm. Culture changes the rules for directness, hierarchy, silence, and emotion in ways that are invisible until something goes wrong. Different cultures read directness, silence, and emotion in a difficult conversation in completely different ways. Without a framework, you will default to your own cultural script and assume everyone else shares it. The six frameworks below give you practical tools to read the room and adjust your approach before damage is done. Definition: cross-cultural sensitivity in difficult conversations is the practice of recognizing how cultural background shapes communication styles, conflict norms, and emotional expression, and then adjusting your approach so that hard messages are delivered with clarity, respect, and the best chance of being received well. I once watched a capable manager destroy a working relationship in about 4 minutes. She called a direct meeting to address a performance issue with a colleague who had recently moved from Japan to the Belfast office. She was clear, specific, and entirely well-intentioned. He nodded through the whole conversation, said very little, and left the room. She thought it had gone well. He never recovered his trust in her, and within 6 months he had quietly requested a transfer. She never understood what happened. The problem was not her honesty. It was that she had no framework for cross-cultural sensitivity, so she walked into that conversation armed only with her own cultural assumptions. This is the thing about difficult conversations across cultural lines. The danger is rarely in what you say. It is in what you assume. When you give someone hard feedback, raise a conflict, or challenge a colleague's behavior, you're operating inside a set of unwritten rules about how those things are supposed to sound, how direct is appropriate, who should speak first, and what silence means. Your cultural background wrote those rules for you, and the person across the table has a completely different set. The frameworks below will not turn you into an anthropologist. They will give you practical tools to read the situation, adjust your approach, and have the honest conversation you need to have without leaving a trail of unintended damage. The invisible rules behind every difficult conversation. Before any framework makes sense, you need to understand one foundational idea: the norms of a difficult conversation are not universal. They are cultural. In some cultures, raising a problem directly with a colleague is a sign of respect. You trust them enough to be honest. In others, it is a form of public humiliation that no apology can fully repair. Neither view is wrong. But if you're operating from one assumption and your colleague is operating from the other, you will both leave the conversation confused and hurt, and neither of you will know exactly why. Here is the truth of it: most people do not realize they have a cultural communication script until it collides with someone else's. The frameworks below give you something to reach for in that moment. Framework 1. The High Context and Low Context Model. What it is: a way of understanding how directly or indirectly a culture typically communicates meaning. What it is for: calibrating how explicit you need to be when raising a difficult issue, and how much context and relationship building needs to come first. How it works. Number 1. Identify the communication style. Low-context communicators common in Germany, the Netherlands, the United States, and Australia expect meaning to be stated explicitly. High-context communicators common in Japan, China, much of the Arab world, and many Latin American cultures rely on shared understanding, tone, and indirect signals to carry meaning. Number 2. Assess your own default. Before you prepare your words, assess which style you are most comfortable with. This is your bias. Number 3. Adjust accordingly. With a high-context communicator, open with relational warmth, address the issue indirectly first, and allow silence to do some work. With a low-context communicator, be specific, clear, and state the issue plainly early. Number 4. Watch for misreads. A low-context person may read high-context indirectness as evasion. A high-context person may read low-context directness as aggression. When to use it. Every cross-cultural difficult conversation. This is the starting framework because it shapes everything else. When not to use it. Do not use cultural generalization as a substitute for paying attention to the individual. This is a starting map, not a fixed verdict. Worked example. You need to address a colleague from South Korea about missed deadlines. Rather than opening with "I need to talk to you about the last three project submissions," you begin with a brief acknowledgement of their recent workload, express your confidence in them, and then raise the pattern gently. You invite their perspective before stating a consequence. Eamon's note: I spent years being too direct with people who needed a longer runway into hard news. Learning to slow down and build the relationship within the conversation itself was one of the most useful things I ever did. If you are working through a broader conflict that has been building over time, the approach in how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy gives you strong opening structure to work alongside this model. Framework 2. The FACE Negotiation Model. What it is: a framework for understanding how people from different cultures protect their public identity, or face, during conflict. What it is for: handling difficult conversations in a way that does not publicly shame the other person, particularly in cultures where maintaining face is central to professional and personal identity. How it works. Number 1. Understand the two types of face. Self-face is how you protect your own image. Other face is how you help the other person protect theirs. Both are in play during any difficult conversation. Number 2. Assess face threat level. Any critical message carries some face threat. The more public the setting, the higher the threat. Number 3. Choose a private setting. For colleagues from high face cultures, this is non-negotiable. A public correction is not a conversation, it is a wound. Number 4. Frame the issue as shared, not personal. We have a situation I want to work through with you reduces face threat far more than you have been doing this wrong. Number 5. Give them room to respond without losing ground. Avoid yes/no ultimatums. Give options. Let them contribute to the solution so they leave with their dignity intact. When to use it. Any conversation with a colleague from a culture where group harmony and public reputation carry significant weight, including many East Asian, Middle Eastern, and South Asian work cultures. When not to use it. If the situation involves serious misconduct, formal process may override cultural accommodation. Face saving is not the same as avoiding accountability. Worked example: a senior team member from a Chinese background culture has been submitting incomplete reports. You schedule a one-to-one, begin by acknowledging the pressure they are under, and frame the issue as something the two of you need to solve together before it becomes visible to the wider team. Eamon's note: face is not vanity. It is how people carry themselves in their community. Treating it as optional is treating the person as optional. Framework 3. The power distance lens. What it is: a way of reading how much a culture accepts and expects hierarchy to shape communication, especially in conflict. What it is for: understanding whether your colleague can comfortably challenge you, disagree openly, or receive direct feedback from a peer without feeling that a line has been crossed. How it works. Number 1. Gauge the power distance norm. High power distance cultures, Philippines, Malaysia, many Latin American countries, Russia expect significant deference to seniority. Low power distance cultures, Denmark, Sweden, Israel, Australia treat hierarchy as fluid and expect honest challenge regardless of rank. Number 2. Adjust your tone relative to the direction. If you're senior and speaking to someone from a high power distance background, they may not push back, even if they disagree strongly. Build in explicit invitations. I want to hear what you think, even if it differs from my view. Number 3. Adjust the other direction. If you're a junior and raising a concern with someone from a high power distance background, frame your message with clear respect for their seniority before stating the difficulty. This is not weakness, it is strategic. Number 4. Never assume silence is agreement. In high power distance contexts, silence from a junior colleague in a difficult conversation often means discomfort, not consent. When to use it. Any conversation where rank is a factor and the cultural backgrounds differ significantly. When not to use it. Do not use power distance norms to justify not having the conversation at all. The framework helps you navigate. It does not give you a reason to avoid. Worked example: you are a project lead raising a concern with a contractor from a high power distance culture. You open by acknowledging their expertise, make clear you value their perspective, state the concern plainly but without commanding language, and close by asking directly what they think the best path forward is. Eamon's note: I have been in rooms where a junior colleague from a high hierarchy culture was visibly distressed, but said nothing because the social contract did not allow it. If you hold power, you carry the responsibility to make the space safe. For practical tools to diffuse the tension that builds when power dynamics are at play, the DEAL method for diffusing tension between colleagues is worth reading alongside this framework. quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Framework 4. The Conflict Style Inventory. What it is. A mapping the 5 distinct approaches to conflict that people bring into difficult conversations: competing, collaborating, compromising, avoiding, and accommodating. What it is for. Understanding why your colleagues' response to conflict may look completely different from yours, and adjusting your strategy to meet them productively. How it works. Number 1. Name the 5 styles. Competing assertive, win-focused. Collaborating high effort, solution-focused. Compromising middle ground. Avoiding withdrawal, delay. Accommodating yielding to preserve the relationship. Number 2. Identify your own default. Most people have 1 or 2 styles they reach for first. Know yours before you enter the room. Number 3. Read the other person's style from their behavior. Are they going quiet? Avoiding eye contact. Offering immediate concessions. Each signal points to a style. Number 4. Match or counterbalance deliberately. 2 competing styles in a room create a fight. A collaborating style paired with a competing one usually moves things forward. An accommodating style meeting another accommodating style produces no resolution at all. Number 5. Name the gap when needed. Sometimes saying "I think we are approaching this differently, and that is worth talking about" is more useful than trying to force progress. When to use it. When a difficult conversation feels stuck, or when the other person's response seems out of proportion to the issue. When not to use it. In time-critical conversations, where analysing style would delay necessary action. Worked example. A colleague from a culture where avoiding conflict is common keeps deflecting a recurring issue. You recognise the avoiding style, stop pushing for direct confrontation, and instead invite a written exchange of perspectives before meeting again. Eamon's note. People are not difficult. They are different. Knowing that someone is accommodating by cultural training, not by weakness, changes how you talk to them entirely. Understanding what drives those different styles often connects to unmet needs beneath the surface. The article on how unmet needs drive team conflict adds useful depth here. Framework 5. The Core Grounding Framework. What it is. A 4-part internal structure for staying steady and clear-headed when a difficult conversation becomes emotionally charged across cultural lines. What it is for. Keeping you grounded when cultural misreading triggers a strong reaction in you or the other person, so you do not default to your worst instincts. How it works. Number 1. Clarity. Before you speak, be clear about what you actually need from this conversation. Not what you want to say. What outcome you need. Number 2. Ownership. Take responsibility for your own communication choices, including the tone and framing. Do not blame the cultural difference for your discomfort. Number 3. Respect. Hold the other person's dignity as non-negotiable, even when the conversation is hard. This is a decision, not a feeling. Number 4. Exploration. Stay curious. Ask questions that open the conversation rather than close it. Help me understand your perspective on this does more work than any rehearsed statement. When to use it. When you feel the conversation slipping, either because you're getting reactive or because the cultural signals you're reading are creating confusion. When not to use it. This is an internal framework. Do not narrate it aloud to the other person as if it is a method being applied to them. Worked example. A difficult feedback conversation has stalled. Your colleague from a high-context culture has gone very quiet. You notice your own frustration rising. You pause, remind yourself of the outcome you need clarity. Own that your direct style may have landed harder than you intended. Ownership. Restate your respect for them explicitly. Respect. And ask a genuinely open question. Exploration. Eamon's note. Structure does not make you robotic. It makes you reliable. When pressure rises, structure is the thing that keeps you human. The full core framework is expanded in detail at how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation. Framework 6. The Deal Resolution Method. What it is. A 4-stage process for moving a cross-cultural difficult conversation from tension toward resolution. What it is for. Providing a shared structure when 2 people from different communication cultures are locked in conflict with no clear path forward. How it works. Number 1. Describe. State the observable situation plainly, without judgment. Over the last 3 weeks, this is what I have noticed happening. Number two, explain. Share the impact clearly and calmly. When this happens, the effect on the team is. Number three, ask. Invite the other person's perspective before proposing any solution. I want to understand how this looks from your side. Number four, land. Together, agree on a specific, practical next step that both parties have shaped. When to use it. When a difficult conversation has a specific, concrete issue at its center and needs to move toward a clear resolution, not just a better understanding. When not to use it. When the relationship is severely damaged or when a formal process needs to run first. Deal is a conversation tool, not a substitute for HR process. Worked example. You are addressing a recurring miscommunication between two colleagues from very different cultural backgrounds. You use deal as a shared scaffold. You describe the pattern both parties have experienced, explain the impact on the project, ask each person to share their reading of the situation, and land on a communication agreement that reflects both their styles. Eamon's note. The ask step is where most people rush. That is exactly the wrong moment to speed up. The ask step is the heart of the whole thing. For deeper look at how deal applies to team-level conflict, see how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy. Choosing the right framework for the moment. Six frameworks can feel like too much to carry into a live conversation. Here is how to choose quickly. Situation start with. You are unsure how direct to be high-context/low-context model. The issue involves public criticism or reputation face negotiation model. Hierarchy is a factor in the conversation power distance lens. The other person keeps deflecting or escalating conflict style inventory. You're getting reactive or the conversation is stalling core grounding framework. You need a clear path to resolution deal resolution method. In practice, you will often use two frameworks in the same conversation, one to read the situation and one to structure your response. The high context slash low context model and the face negotiation model pair naturally. Core and deal work together well when a conversation has broken down and needs rebuilding. The decision is not always clean. When in doubt, start with the high context slash low context model. It is the widest lens and it will really steer you wrong as a first orientation. For conversations where cultural difference is actively driving the tension rather than just shaping style, the article on how to manage tension when cultural differences are at the root of the conflict will give you additional practical grounding. Where these frameworks break down. Even the best tools fail when you use them badly. Here are the patterns I have watched undermine good intentions. The mistake. Applying a cultural generalization as if it were a personal fact. Why it happens. Frameworks describe tendencies across populations, not fixed traits of individuals. Not every person from a high-context culture prefers indirect communication. What to do instead? Use cultural frameworks as hypotheses, not conclusions. Test them by observing and asking, not by assuming. The mistake. Using sensitivity as a reason to avoid the conversation altogether. Why it happens. Cultural complexity can feel like a reason to wait, soften, or delay indefinitely. What to do instead? Sensitivity shapes how you have the conversation, not whether you have it. Avoidance is its own form of disrespect. The mistake. Performing respect rather than practicing it. Why it happens. People learn the vocabulary of cultural sensitivity without internalizing the genuine curiosity behind it. What to do instead? Ask real questions. Listen to the actual answers. The frameworks are a scaffold for your attention, not a script for your performance. The mistake. Forgetting to prepare your own cultural self-awareness first. Why it happens. Most training focuses on understanding other cultures, not on interrogating your own defaults. What to do instead? Before every cross-cultural difficult conversation, ask yourself, what do I assume is normal about how this conversation should go? That assumption is the first thing to examine. For guidance specifically on cross-cultural feedback delivery, the article on how to give feedback across cultures without causing offence addresses these failure points in more detail. Building fluency over time. You will not master cross-cultural sensitivity in a single conversation. This is a practice, not a qualification. Start with one framework per month. Take the high-context/low-context model and apply it deliberately to every difficult conversation you have for 4 weeks. Notice what shifts. Notice where you were wrong. After a month, at the face negotiation model, build the library slowly and practically. After every significant cross-cultural difficult conversation, ask yourself two questions. What did I assume that turned out to be wrong? And what would I do differently? Those two questions will teach you more than any amount of reading. The goal is not fluency in every culture on earth. The goal is fluency in your own assumptions, combined with the courage to stay curious when the conversation becomes difficult. Frequently asked questions. What is cross-cultural sensitivity in difficult conversations? Cross-cultural sensitivity in difficult conversations means adjusting how you deliver and receive hard messages based on the cultural norms of the people involved. It requires awareness of how different cultures handle conflict, hierarchy, and directness so your message lands with clarity and respect. How do you apply cross-cultural sensitivity when giving critical feedback? Read whether the other person comes from a high-context or low-context culture first. High-context communicators need private, relationship-aware framing. Low-context communicators often expect direct, specific language. Match your delivery to their norms, not your own default style, to keep the conversation productive. Why do difficult conversations often fail across cultural lines? They fail because people assume their own communication style is neutral. What feels direct and honest to one person feels aggressive or disrespectful to another. Without cross-cultural sensitivity, you can damage the relationship and lose the message entirely, even with the best intentions. What is the difference between high-context and low-context communication styles? High-context cultures rely on shared understanding, relationship history, and indirect signals to convey meaning. Low-context cultures expect meaning to be stated explicitly. In a difficult conversation, misreading, which style the other person uses, leads to misunderstanding that neither party can easily name or fix. How does power distance affect difficult workplace conversations? Power distance describes how much a culture accepts unequal authority between people. In high power distance cultures, a direct challenge to a senior colleague can feel deeply disrespectful. In low power distance cultures, the same challenge reads as healthy assertiveness. Knowing this helps you frame difficult messages appropriately. Can I learn cross-cultural sensitivity without deep cultural expertise? Yes. You do not need to become a scholar of every culture. You need three things: genuine curiosity about the other person, willingness to ask clarifying questions, and a set of flexible frameworks that help you adjust your approach in real time rather than defaulting to your own cultural script. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.